Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Shoreline Podcast. This is Peter Ravella, the co-host of the show.
And this is Tyler Buckingham, the other co-host.
This is one of those shows I think the listeners love, Tyler. We're going to be talking about federal grant funds.
That's right. Some Boku bucks coming down the line.
There's some Boku bucks available for all those coastal communities out there who struggle with the changing conditions of the American shoreline. The focus of the conversation today is the National Coastal Resilience Fund. And Tyler, as you know, and our listeners know, that coastal communities and ecosystems around the American shoreline are facing some considerable challenges with sea level rise, increasing storm frequency and intensity, more rain and flooding. There is a lot going on these highly developed shorelines that we have created in America, and trying to find a way to effectively respond to those changing conditions is not cheap and requires a great deal of funding. Well, the good news is the Biden administration has been able to put together substantial revenues for projects on coastal resilience around the country. We've got a couple of great people to talk about today, Tyler, to really explore this issue and the available funds and the opportunities that presents for coastal practitioners, professionals, and communities around the American shoreline.
What comes to mind, Peter, is game changer. The fact of the matter is that we've been talking about coastal resiliency on this program for years.
Yeah.
And one of the common tenets that every single coastal resilience project has in common is that it costs money. And in some cases, it can cost a lot of money. And ranging from community to community, these projects are different, but there's always the issue of coming up with the scratch.
Yeah.
To make it happen. And today, Peter, we're going to have a great show talking about a federal program that will help coastal communities on the American shoreline find their way to getting some of these projects implemented. And we've got two killer guests to walk us through it.
Top professionals in this subject area joining us today on the American Shoreline Podcast is Joelle Gore. Joelle is the Stewardship Division Chief at NOAA, and NOAA is an agency very much involved in this initiative, along with Jessica Granis. And Jessica is a Program Director for Coastal Resilience at the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, NFWF, as we all call it in the coastal profession, a key funding program that we're going to be focusing on today.
I'm looking forward to this one, Peter. Whenever we get to talk about some money, I know your ears get up, Pete. But
it's $140 million in this case, Tyler, this year. That's what we're talking about.
I know you're very perked up, and I'm excited for it. But before we get into it, let's have a quick word from our sponsors.
Support for the American Shoreline Podcast Network and Coastal News Today comes from Geodynamics, an NV5 company. Geodynamics' team of specialists provide accurate surveys of complex coastal environments around the world using the latest technology in marine geology, coastal science, and remote sensing. With customized vessels and sensor configurations, Geodynamics delivers meticulous data products to answer their clients' toughest questions. Visit nv5geospatial.com or geodynamicsgroup.com to learn more about Geodynamics and their solutions that improve lives. And from the Coastal Zone Foundation. The Certified Coastal Practitioner Program from the Coastal Zone Foundation offers courses covering 11 different subject areas, including coastal engineering, ecology, geology, project management, and more. The CCP program emphasizes a multidisciplinary approach to coastal zone management, setting you apart from the competition and demonstrating your commitment to best practices and a code of ethics in your field. With modules available online or as live short courses, the CCP program is accessible to coastal professionals at all stages of their careers. Learn more at coastalzonefoundation.org. And don't forget, subscribe to the CNT Daily Blast newsletter for the latest news and updates from around the American shoreline. Want to support our work? Learn more about sponsorship packages at coastalnewstoday.com/advertising.
Well, thank you very much, Joelle, for joining us on the American Shoreline Podcast. And Jessica, thank you as well. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this subject. It is of great importance to our listeners around the country. First of all, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your expertise on this very important initiative. Welcome to ASP.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I'd like to start, Jessica, if you would not mind. Can you tell us about the historic investment in coastal resilience that is being supported and funded by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act? Give us an introduction to the investments that are currently available and coming forward soon.
Sure. So through the National Coastal Resilience Fund that is administered by NIFWIF in partnership with NOAA, we have received $492 million from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law that we will be putting out over five cycles. We just announced a slate of $146 million in grant funding last year in August and November, and we put out our request for proposals in February with $140 million available again this year to support important nature-based projects to help communities reduce their risk from coastal hazards as a result of a changing climate, and to also improve habitat for fish and wildlife. And this is in addition to significant additional funding that NOAA has received through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act that Joelle can talk to you more about.
Well, good, because Joelle, I'd love to understand if we could size this up. I mean, in our area, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the Inflation Reduction Act made waves. Lots of talk about this historic investment. But Joelle, would you talk a bit about the history of this program and like how much bigger is it now?
Well, just to start off talking about the funding under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law for NOAA, this means almost $3 billion in investments. Now, not all for nature-based infrastructure, which is the important work that NOAA and NIFWIF do under the National Coastal Resilience Fund, but for things like nature-based infrastructure, restoration, conservation, and other key investments to help respond to the critical societal needs to reduce risks of climate impacts for our coastal communities. So really excited about this incredible investment. Really excited about our ongoing partnership with NIFWIF. We've been working on the National Coastal Resilience Fund together since 2018. Congress has since then been appropriating funds for the National Coastal Resilience Fund. But as you say, the funding under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the almost $500 million dedicated to the National Coastal Resilience Fund for the next 5 years, really is a game changer and brings opportunities to increase the scale and scope of these investments that can't be overstated.
I totally agree. You know what I think would be helpful for me is maybe an example of how these programs actually do protect coastal communities. Jess, would you mind talking about how the National Coastal Resilience Fund impacts communities directly?
Sure. So the National Coastal Resilience Fund, really our overarching theory of change is that when you bring nature to the table when making investments in coastal resilience, you're able to enhance the resilience of wildlife by improving habitats and improve the resilience of communities by helping them build and rebuild these natural buffers like wetlands and coral reefs and oyster reefs that protect communities from increasing flooding and erosion that we're seeing along our shorelines. And one of the things that we do through the National Coastal Resilience Fund is we've recognized that not all communities are in the same stage of their resilience journey. Some communities are just getting started and they need funding to help them do the planning and vulnerability assessments that are needed to help them know what their risks are and know how to deploy nature-based solutions to help them address those risks. So we support projects at early planning stages through design and engineering and permitting all the way to construction of projects on the ground. And the really great thing about these investments is they not only help communities address those hazards during extreme weather conditions, but they also provide these multiple sunny day benefits in addition to providing that natural protection in terms of improving water quality, sequestering carbon pollution, providing recreational opportunities for residents, improving fisheries that are important for coastal communities, economies, and other benefits that we are working to capture and quantify in our work through NIFWIF.
Outstanding. This is a powerful program and very, very timely given the changing conditions and challenges around the country on the coast. Jess, can you expand a little bit on the technical merits of the solutions, innovation, transferability? How does the program work in this particular subject area?
Sure. So nature-based solutions are, you know, a new idea that a lot of communities are just starting to develop. Typically, where we saw flooding, the traditional engineering response was to build seawalls and levees to have these structural protections against flooding. And so increasingly, we're seeing the negative impacts of those types of structural solutions, and people are using multiple different ways of enhancing coastal resilience, including integrating nature-based solutions into the suite of things that they're looking at to address these changing conditions we're seeing in coastal communities. And so through the National Coastal Resilience Fund, we are enabling communities to experiment and innovate in new types of technologies. So for example, one project we funded last year was to restore kelp forests along the state of California and to help assess the wave attenuation benefits of that kelp restoration, because we know that kelp provides like critical habitat benefit, but how those systems prevent erosion and control waves along the coast is something that we don't fully understand. So that's one thing that we evaluate when we're looking at a proposal. We do fund projects that are common practices like restoring wetlands and dune systems, but we're also looking to seed innovation and encourage people to expand their view on how to build coastal resilience in their communities. We're also looking for projects that can be transferred. So building up the ability of a community to understand how nature-based solutions can work in their place and to embed those types of solutions into the plans and policies that govern how they think about development moving forward. So we're looking for ideas and concepts that are scalable and transferable, and that the applicants have a plan for expanding and replicating that approach throughout their community or watershed. And then finally, we're looking for sustainable solutions. We know that we're seeing incredible and rapid change along our shorelines. So we want to make sure that the projects are considering those changes like rising sea levels in their project design and incorporating measures to ensure that the project is durable to those changing conditions, or that they're incorporating adaptive management approaches to make sure that they can maintain and sustain the project over time.
Wow, that is an incredible slate of considerations and objectives. And you know, one of the things that I think is worth pointing out here is that the American shoreline is an incredibly diverse and important place, obviously, for the country. But you know, from one city, from one community to the next, the coastal issues could be very different. They could be similar. But the point is that each community needs to engage with its problems and coastal resilience programs independently. And Joelle, what's interesting to me about this program is that it's not as though the federal government is coming in here, Peter, as you would say, with pennies from heaven. Like they're just going to solve the problem altogether. There needs to be like a local, regional buy-in. Could you talk a little bit about how this program works with other levels of government, with specific communities to maximize the investments that the taxpayers are making?
Well, maybe this is a good time, too, to talk a little bit more about some of the programs that NOAA is supporting, because there really is an incredible connection across the National Coastal Resilience Fund and the work that we're doing in partnership with NIFWIF, but also the work and the investments under the bipartisan infrastructure law that we're making specifically to the coastal states and territories that we work with in partnership under the National Coastal Zone Management Program, as well as the 30 research reserves that NOAA works with around the nation to support research on these important ecosystems, but also, again, make investments for restoration and conservation under the bipartisan infrastructure law. I should also mention as well, just in terms of scope of investment, the work that we're doing with the Coastal Zone Management Program is $207 million over the next 5 years. The work with the National Estuarine Research Reserves, $77 million over the next 5 years. Likewise, my colleagues in the National Marine Fisheries Service are making restoration investments important for communities and fisheries to the tune of almost $500 million over the next 5 years as well. Across all of these programs, and again, we're here talking about the National Coastal Resilience Fund, but some pieces that are common across all of these programs and investments is that important work with communities. As Jess mentioned earlier, part of this funding is available to do the planning work on the ground to bring stakeholders, communities together to understand, to prioritize their restoration needs, those nature-based infrastructure needs, and to bring partners together to pull projects, develop those important projects for this competitive funding effort. Also, NIFWIF provides technical assistance. They work with a partner to provide technical assistance to communities as well. And Jess, please talk more about that. Because as you know, this is at all different scales, at a very local scale, at something that might be county or multi-county scale, depending on the type of partnership or project that is being thought about. So the goal is to meet communities where they are, but also have transformative impact on the landscape to help protect communities.
I got to say, Jess and Joelle, that is a really powerful formula. There are so many programs that you walk in the door, you have to have a final design ready. It's called shovel ready. Come to us with a shovel ready project, and if we like it, we'll fund it. So many grant programs approach these issues in that way. And as you're Joelle, you're pointing out, and Jess, you're pointing out that this program includes everything from the consensus building process to the preliminary design and design and the permitting process to get to the point where a project is available to be executed. And the fact that there's technical assistance built in is absolutely key, because so many local governments that contend with these complex problems don't necessarily have the engineering and technical expertise to look at these complex coastal issues. Can you speak a little bit about, if I'm a city manager or I'm a coastal county commissioner, what this plan and program, the National Coastal Resilience Fund, what this really can do for these communities and with the horsepower that you guys have aligned in this setup?
Yeah, happy to step in here. I think we like to think about the National Coastal Resilience Fund as catalytic. We know that there is a lot more need in terms of the resources that communities need to really tackle this problem head on than we can provide through any single program. And so the intent of the pipeline approach that we take is really designed to get communities to that restoration ready project that can spur additional investment. And so the reason why we support early planning and capacity building, early stages of design to final design and engineering, is to give them the resources to bring that expertise to the table to help them develop the solutions that are going to work for them in their place, given their risk profile. And that has helped unlock funding from not only the National Coastal Resilience Fund to support implementation, but a wide array of other funding programs that our grantees are going to, including programs administered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, by EPA's state revolving funds, to help them implement these large-scale, really impactful projects on the ground in communities that are delivering real-world benefits to the residents. And so that's one of the benefits that we see in terms of the flexibility that we can provide through the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to support work at all stages of a project's development to really help people understand the role that nature-based solutions can play in helping them build their resilience to climate change.
Thank you for that, Jess. I appreciate the clarification. You know, I find that, and Peter, you and we know quite a bit about the federal government's work in this area, but I do find that it can be just overwhelming. And Joelle, you are the stewardship division chief, and I'm wondering if you could. I'm trying to understand how this program and other programs kind of fit together. Obviously, this was a huge investment that prompted the increase in funding here that we're all so excited about. But how does this fit in with other programs within the realm of the stewardship division?
Yeah, great question. So I'm mentioning the programs that my office, NOAA's Office for Coastal Management, supports, particularly with the coastal zone managers and coastal zone management programs around the nation and the National Estuarine Research Reserve programs around the nation. One of the key things that we are seeing as states and programs come together and develop those priorities and projects that they're seeking funding for is the ability to leverage these sources of funds under the National Coastal Resilience Fund, under other programs that NOAA supports directly, like the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Funds targeted to coastal zone management and National Estuarine Research Reserve programs, to essentially compound those investments even at a larger scale. So the partnership building that is happening, one of the roles that the federal government plays is to help bring folks together to help make those connections, better understand these funding opportunities, help make connections with the partners in their place, to help seed some of the idea generation, the priority setting that is so important at the local level, local and state level, to help leverage these funds as best as possible. So really exciting opportunity for our partners around the nation. We're continuing to look forward to the projects and the outcomes from these projects over the next few years.
It's exciting opportunities ahead. Currently, I understand the request for proposals is out and open for applicants to consider for the $140 million available in 2023. All the grant writers and city planners and county planners out there, local governments and nonprofit organizations are probably trying to sift through the requirements and prepare. And one of the great things in writing applications in the past and programs like this, it's always good to know what has been funded in the past. What is the agency looking for? I wonder, Jess, if you could talk about some examples of projects that indicate that sort of the sense of priority and direction that NFWF is looking for, and Could you speak about this in concrete terms? What comes to mind as great examples of projects that folks might take a look at?
Sure. So we are, primarily we are looking for those projects that are going to advance a nature-based solution to the next stages of project development. So we're not looking for projects that are developing research or plans that are going to sit on the shelf. We really want to fund things that are going to help eventually support the construction of a restoration project on the ground that's going to deliver those ecological and coastal resilience outcomes that we're seeking through the program. And so across the U.S., we're funding projects that support that work and develop those nature-based solutions. I think the other thing that we're really emphasizing is that we know that not all communities face the same threats from climate change. There are some communities based upon socioeconomic factors that are disproportionately vulnerable to the impacts of sea level rise and in these more intense storms that we're seeing. And so we're really prioritizing projects that benefit underserved communities and have that direct community engagement in the work, because we know that projects are more successful and more sustainable when the community is involved and at the table and has a stake in decision making and a role in the project. And so underserved communities are another priority that we have. In terms of specific examples that show sort of that progression, we funded a handful of projects in Jacksonville, Florida with Groundwork Jacksonville, where they are restoring two stream corridors that go through the city in primarily underserved areas to take out some of the concrete channels that have been put in and restore that natural stream corridor, reducing flood risk for the community, reducing heat island effect for the community, providing this vital community asset in an area where there are few parks to benefit in terms of recreation, and then having this active community-led role of a community organization that's leading the work. They transferred after designing the project through the community-based organization, the city took over the implementation phase of one of the projects and is implementing that on the ground. A second project is being advanced to final design and permitting along a different stream corridor. So I think that's one of the examples of how this pipeline is helping communities get to implementation, build those partnerships with their local governments, with university partners, with others, to advance a project through stages to get to implementation and ultimately those ecological and resilience outcomes that we're looking for.
Outstanding. The RFP is out now. One of the things I know a lot of listeners will be thinking about is what is the process, the application process look like? I know this is fairly standard, but it would appreciate it if one of you could sort of walk through the process of preparing an application, submitting it broadly, and specifically what the deadlines are and when funds might be available, kind of the nuts and bolts of the program. I don't know if Jess, if that's you or Joelle.
Yeah, that's probably best for me, the nuts and bolts. So yes, our RFP is on the streets now. We have a lot of information on our website, including the request for proposals with details about a program priorities and requirements. We have a pre-proposal webinar to walk people through the basic nuts and bolts of our application system. But essentially, we work really hard at NIFWIF to make the application process as easy as possible for the applicant so we can get the information we need to assess the nexus of their proposal with this funding program and move them through the process. So we have a two-page pre-proposal that is due on April 12th, where we ask applicants to tell us about their coastal resilience challenge, to give us a summary of their proposed idea and what they hope to do with the funding to address those coastal challenges and the benefits they expect to advance through the work in terms of community resilience and those ecological outcomes. And at that stage, we evaluate the proposals. We send out invites to full proposal at the end of May. And then those full proposals are 8 pages long, and we require a more detailed budget at that point. And those are due at the end of June. And then we make final funding decisions and bring a slate of grants to our board in November, with award amount announcements going out at the end of the year, and move into contracting in early 2024.
Wow, not bad. So here we're working on Christmas presents, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Application pre-proposals, I think, was it April? Did you say 13th?
April 12th is when pre-proposals are due.
And invitation, final proposals in June, award decisions around Christmas time. That's, I like that. I like that, Jess. I think that.
I just wanted to emphasize a point that Joelle made earlier. We do have a team of field liaisons that are on contract with NIFWIF that are available to work with applicants to help them develop their project idea and understand the program requirements and help them flesh out their proposal in a way that is meeting the program requirements. So we would encourage people that are interested in this program to reach out to our field liaison team. Their contact information is available on our website. They can really be helpful in guiding applicants through the process and understanding how to scope their proposal in a way that it will make it most competitive.
That is great. The website, I believe, is nfwf.org, is it not?
That is correct. And there's a special page for the National Coastal Resilience Fund.
$140 million available in 2023, $500 million over the next 5 years. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely essential revenues for communities facing challenges on the American shoreline. We can't thank you both enough. Final word, Joelle and Jess, and for our listeners.
Just thank you again for having us. And thank you, Jess, too, for being an incredible partner. We look forward to the NOAA-NIFWIF partnership to support the National Coastal Resilience Fund. And thank all of you listening and all of the work that you are doing to help support our coastal communities.
Yes, thank you all for having us, and Joelle for joining in the fun. And, you know, we really enjoy seeing all the great work that communities are leading in this space across the country. And it's really inspiring to see the incredible projects that people are putting forward and the great work that is happening on the ground. So,
well, I have to say, it's incredibly exciting to see this level of funding available and the good work that can be done. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Joelle Gore. She is the chief of the stewardship division at NOAA. And Jessica Granis, who is with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. She's the program director for coastal resilience. It's called the National Coastal Resilience Fund. Learn about it. Check it out. Deadlines coming up very soon. Let's do good work on the American shoreline. Thank you both for walking us through this important program on the American Shoreline podcast. We couldn't appreciate it more.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.